This Focus with Paul W. Smith podcast is sponsored by Victor's Home Solutions. Visit victors.com, experts in home solutions.
Happy Wednesday. Some still call it hump day. We're over the hump and into the middle of the week, which means we're on the other side heading toward the weekend. I don't live that way because then you've got all these days in the way that, like, don't count. I say you should live each and every day to the fullest. Make each and every day count because each day is a gift. And after all, as Kim would remind me, we don't know how much QTR we have left, quality time remaining. So enjoy every day. But for those of you who still, for whatever reason, like to look at it as hump day over the hump, that's what it is. It's a Wednesday, March 13th, another beautiful day with 60 sunny degrees. Expected high 68. The low started at 49. It is a beautiful day with the team here to serve you. Dave Rieger, our producer, Danielle Mason pressing all the right buttons, Rich Luzinski making appearances with our WJR traffic and weather first. It's been a wild time. Yesterday it was great to be able to come to you along with Dr. Sol Kogan. That was a great event that we had. We helped a lot of people who needed help. I need help. I, in fact, went to his disc center there on Garfield Road in Clinton Township after the show and am starting to get some treatment because I have a really bad lower back issue that came on out of nowhere and makes it even hard to walk. So we're going to start the treatment. I didn't go through treatment yet. We had the meeting. We did all the stuff that you do, and I have great confidence because Kim has done so well there with the Disc Institute. All right. I did go back and watch a little bit of Robert Herr. And I got to tell you, Rieger, if anyone needed an example of the way politicians, this time it's the Democrats, I'm sure the Republicans, and although they're not as sharp at this as the Democrats are. The Democrats get a game plan. They get a talking sheet, and they stick by it. And the talking sheet for the Democrats was just an out-and-out lie. And when they tried to lie right to Robert Herr, I like this guy. I've never heard of him before. No pun intended, Herr. But he just wouldn't sit there and shut up when these Democrats were spouting lies. And as much as the Democrats want to say that Robert Herr's report exonerated President Biden, Herr wouldn't let that stand. And yet, I don't know, did you notice, Rieger, how many Democrats have now used the term, including the White House? Well, now that that report has exonerated President Biden, have you noticed that?
I have.
That's out-and-out lies, folks, and they did it to us because they think we're stupid. The man who presented the report said he never said his report in any way, shape, or form used the word or intimated that the president was exonerated. No matter how many times the Dems lie and say it, again, I'm sure the Republicans, if they figured it out, would do the same thing. It is a black mark. It is a smear on all of these elected officials that we hire to work for us. That's a joke, of course. In fact, that's why some guy is leaving. I just saw this note getting ready. He's leaving, and let me give you the great reason he's leaving. Republican Representative Ken Buck announcing he will leave Congress at the end of next week, criticizing the dysfunction on Capitol Hill as the reason he did this. And the quote was, "This place has just devolved into this bickering and nonsense and not really doing the job for the American people." End of quote. Where'd you hear that before? Right here on this program. They are not doing the job for the American people. But when they flat out lie, it's a perfect teaching moment. Yesterday was a perfect teaching moment, and any time you hear another Democrat say, well, the president was exonerated, you heard from the man who wrote the report, Robert Herr, who said that is not what he or his report said. No matter how many times the Democrats lie to you, please think for yourself and understand that it's just that, a lie. It's what they want. Did you hear Vladimir Putin is talking like he would be open to conversations in ending the Ukraine war? Did you hear that, Mr. Rieger?
I think I heard that.
Yeah, somewhere. Well, he did say it. But he said something that lets you know absolutely what he's talking about when he said that the talks would have to be based on reality. What do you think that means? Or maybe I should ask the question, what do you think that means?
That's a good question.
I'll tell you what I think
what do you
that
think?
Means.
What do you think?
That means that Ukraine has to surrender. Ukraine has to say, okay, you win. Let's end the war. Putin says he's all about talking about ending the Ukraine war as long as it's based on reality. Well, his reality is he wins. So I don't know if anyone gets excited about that or not, but I don't know. I think the war should end.
So it's all good as long as it's on his terms.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good as long as it's good for him. We talked about last week Mitch Albom being in a pickle. I had called Mitch. We talked. I then called Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. She got very much involved. She got the State Department, tried to get the State Department involved, tried to get President Biden involved. But in the end, it took some other people to finally get Mitch out. And I knew yesterday on the program that Mitch and his lovely wife and about eight or nine other Americans or people that were with him got out. They were out yesterday morning, but I was asked not to talk about it yesterday on the show. Now I can talk about it. It's everywhere. Everybody knows Mitch is safe. But we're going to talk with Mitch at 12:18 this afternoon. Mitch Albom, colleague, friend, author, columnist, sports writer, talk show host here at WJR. We're going to talk about it. Quite an experience, quite a story. No one won the Mega Millions. Is that correct? It was $735 million, so now it goes up. I don't know what it goes up to.
Yeah, I don't think anybody won.
Nobody won, so that gives you another chance if you want to spend a couple of bucks and try to change your...
Can't win if you don't play.
That's right. Well, or as Ron Humany always used to say, your odds of winning are about the same if you buy a ticket or if you don't. I thought that was... I always loved that line.
That's an interesting take on it.
Yeah. I always liked that line. Did you hear about... I don't
know
what happened.
You're not going to win if you don't buy.
No, that's true. A man who... Do you get the COVID shots all the time? Have you had all the boosters, all the rest of them?
Yes.
I have not. He's a liberal, folks, so he
it has nothing to do with that, Paul.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Okay, so anyway, did you hear about... did you... I appreciate that you take all of this that we give you. I heard Danielle laugh, too. All right. Did you hear about the man who got 217 COVID shots?
Yeah, I think I did hear about that.
What the heck?
That I'm not sure. That's a little... What wasn't...
I don't even understand how that could happen.
Yeah, there was something nefarious with that, though. For some reason... Yeah, there was something about getting money or something. Or
did the doctor get money or did he get money?
Something. I don't remember the story. I do remember like parts of it, though, yeah.
Well, he got 217 COVID shots. They call him a hyper-vaccinated man. But the strange thing is they say, they, whoever they are, have not found any noticeable side effects or harm to his immune system.
That's interesting.
Which really throws a wrench into people who don't like those things.
Right, and who say that they're worried about getting future problems.
Well, because we've all heard of people, mm-hmm. even people dying coincidentally soon after getting a vaccination, and a whole bunch of other stuff. But that's just unbelievable, 217. And finally, how excited are we for Greg Campy?
Very excited. I texted him last night.
Oh, good for you.
Very excited.
What a nice man.
Yes.
And you know, this is his fourth trip to the Vision.
Congratulations. Yes, yeah. Awesome.
Well, big congratulations in his 40th season at Oakland as the Grizzlies reign in the Horizon League. Oakland 83, Milwaukee 76.
Very cool.
Very cool. Yes. We couldn't be happier for what appears to be one of the nicest guys out
there.
Greg Campy. And, you know, don't blame him if he's wearing the same clothes, because he, too, is a little superstitious. And he said, he already said he wears the same clothes once they win like that.
So great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, and then you wear the same clothes, too, because you celebrate having a job still. So, you know, good for you. Different strokes, different folks.
Exactly.
I understand.
Right. Danielle also.
Yes. Danielle. I hear her laugh. I want her mic on so we can all hear her laugh. Okay. It is 12:15 on a beautiful Wednesday edition of Focus with Paul W. Smith. I'm jumping into a story I don't know a lot about, except I do know this. I completely trust the person who brings us the story, and at least one of the people named in it right off the top. We haven't talked to Chad Livengood in a while, but we are about to. He's the politics editor, great columnist for the Detroit News. And he is quoting in the very beginning of the story some charges that are leveled by a guy I respect a great deal. That is Wayne County Executive Warren Evans. Also being leveled by the Flint Mayor Sheldon Neely, who I do not know. But he, these two guys are referred to in the column as two of the most prominent black elected officials in Michigan. And I'll start it there, where these Democratic leaders are warning of black voter apathy for President Biden. Chad Livengood, it's been too long. Nice to have you on board this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Bring me up to snuff on this story. I'm not terribly involved in the Democrat Party and whatever problems they have. I've been so involved in the problems of the Republican Party for so long. So tell me what's going on.
Yeah, so during the primary, the presidential primary, there was this orchestrated at the last minute, as they will, orchestrated effort to vote uncommitted, and it was mostly led by Arab American Muslim leaders, particularly in Dearborn and Wayne County, who wanted to cast a protest vote. And as it turns out, Warren Evans, longtime county executive and previously the sheriff of Wayne County, he also cast a protest vote of uncommitted against the president. But he says his reasons were different. He says that he believes there is kind of widespread apathy among African Americans for President Biden, and there's not a lot of appetite to just go vote for what, you know, he terms, or most people term, the lesser of two evils. And this is, you know, reflects what we see in a lot of polling nationally. Not many voters are very enthused about Donald Trump and Joe Biden being the main choices on the menu, so to speak, which we don't even really know at this point whether No Labels or some other entity is going to try to mount a third-party candidacy. Obviously, Robert Kennedy F. Jr. and others are already doing that. But what I kind of get at in this piece here is about how these two leaders are really talking about something out loud that Democrats typically don't talk about out loud and have kind of public fights. And one of the more revealing things is that both the Wayne County executive and the mayor of Flint say they have no relationship with the chair of the Michigan Democratic Party, who is a African-American woman and a veteran political strategist in the Democratic Party, Lavora Barnes. And that's pretty telling. If these two, prominent black leaders don't have a relationship with their own party chair, and they're really starting to just kind of raise questions about whether the Democratic Party and the Biden campaign recognize the problem that they see on the ground in Detroit and Flint and suburbs of both cities, because there are 1 million black voting age adults in Michigan. And they have traditionally been a strong contingent of the Democratic coalition. If they're not enthused and they don't turn out in November, it seems to spell trouble for Joe Biden.
Yeah, it does. And if you listen to Donald Trump, he would claim that he has done so much more for black Americans than anybody else. So this bad timing on the part of the Democrats. But like I say, I so respect Wayne County Executive Warren Evans. I think he's probably making a tremendous amount of sense, just as you always do, Chad. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Chad Livengood, politics editor, columnist, Detroit News on WJR. Looking forward to Friday, our St. Patrick's Day celebration. Well, it's not St. Patrick's Day. It's our St. Patrick's celebration on this Friday, noon to 3. And we have a great group, Rowdy O'Reilly, that'll be playing. That'll be a lot of fun. And I said, where did they come from? And I find they came from a company called Fusion Entertainment Detroit. I went, what's that? Well, going to find out, because the owner of Fusion Entertainment Detroit, Julie Dilworth, is here with us right now. Julie, thanks in advance for giving us Rowdy O'Reilly. And tell us about Fusion. I understand in looking into this that you provide entertainment for a multitude of events.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Paul. It's so nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
We love having you.
And thank you. We are really excited to be part of your festivities in providing the entertainment for you through Rowdy O'Reilly. But as you asked, what does Fusion do? We are a custom entertainment services company. And so our motto is, tell us what you need, we'll make it happen. So we have clients that reach out, both is weddings or corporate events, and they let us know what they need. And we do everything from live full bands to individual singers and musicians, DJ, karaoke, celebrity impersonators, talent competitions, all sorts of different events, depending upon what our clients may need.
I tell you, it got my attention because my son, Adam, who's been living in Spain after going to school there for the music industry, has been a DJ. Adam Westing is the name he would go by, Adam W. Smith, but Adam Westing. And so when I saw that, I thought, well, I always thought there needed to be somebody who could, at one stop, provide bands, singers, musicians, DJs, can do the karaoke, custom trivia, game night events, talent competitions. You've got celebrity impersonators and all of that, providing this entertainment for a multitude of events. And this, you're kind of a one-stop shop, and I like your motto, tell us what you need, and we'll make it happen.
Thank you. It really is descriptive of what we do, because there are a lot of different events that are completely unique or that are on a very short time frame, and because of the connections that we have throughout the city, we're able to procure those entertainments for our clients, and it's a really rewarding situation to be in.
It's not a time to be shy, Julie Dilworth, while you're here in Focus with Paul W. Smith, because you happen to be the lead singer and band manager of a band yourself. The band is Persuasion, been one of Metro Detroit's most successful bands. You started in grade school 30 years ago, and and you performed in a variety of places, including for the Detroit Red Wings, Toast of Hockey Town, Channel 4's auto show events, Arts Beats and Eats. You performed a lot of different places, and that's kind of exciting, too. It was smart of you to say, we all need some good representation so somebody can make one contact, one phone call, and be able to take care of all the events that they might have and be able to say, gee, we're having a big corporate event. We don't exactly know what we need or want. Can you help us?
Absolutely. And that's what we do. As you were talking about Persuasion Band, I have actually only been manager of the band for a little while, but I've been a singer in the band for over 20 years. And Persuasion is definitely one of the most high-energy, fun party bands for weddings and corporate events. And it's definitely amazing to be able to incorporate one of the things that I love the most as part of my company.
Well, the idea behind this, having watched my son Adam go around kind of like as a freelancer to DJ, I always thought, I mean, it's nothing I could do, but I always thought, man, if somebody could get that together and represent all of these people so that people could have a choice, in your case, by going to FusionEntertainmentDetroit.com, FusionEntertainmentDetroit.com, and be able to not just say, here's what I need and want, but be able to say to someone like you, Julie Dilworth, I'm not sure what I need or want, but you've done this for years. Can you help us?
Absolutely. And there's so much talent in Metro Detroit, so we get to be able to interact with those and then bring them and take out all of the legwork for our clients and say, what do you need? here we go. We know these people. We know this band. We can do this event. And it's really exciting to be able to be a part of that within the city.
And I hope that all of the people, the various musicians, singers, bands, DJs, go on and on and on, celebrity impersonators, I hope they all understood the value of signing up with Fusion Entertainment.
Absolutely. I certainly would hope so.
Well, of course. Of course you do. You're the owner. But I see it, and I can understand it, and I hope that these people do as well. We are looking forward to this Friday and the band that you represent as well, Rowdy O'Reilly, playing at our St. Patrick's Day broadcast from noon till 3. And I'm going to hook you up with my son, Adam, who's coming back to Michigan. I'm going to hook him up with you.
I would love that. I would love to meet him. And also, Paul, I'd like to talk to you about becoming my new PR manager.
I'm always looking for extra work. Be happy to. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you on Friday.
Julie Dilworth, owner of Fusion Entertainment Detroit. They're giving us Rowdy O'Reilly this Friday as we continue on WJR. Part two on a sunny Wednesday that some still call hump day, but you know what? Every day has its own value. I'm not rushing to get to the weekend. Well, I love the weekend, don't get me wrong. And some weeks go by very slowly. This is kind of a slow week. It's only Wednesday. You notice this, though, that sometimes the weeks go by slowly, but the months are speeding by, as are the years. But be that as it may, it's Wednesday, March 13th. It's sunny and beautiful again, 60 degrees with the sunshine. Head into a high of 68 degrees. I'm just looking at some of my information. The team is here, by the way, and I'm sure they're checking information throughout the show as well. Dave Rieger, our producer, Danielle Mason running the controls, Rich Luzinski with our WJR traffic and weather first. At the end of this conversation, it's our opening conversation, the opening salvo of things, anything we want to talk about, we talk about. But I do see this popping up. This from, is that the Free Press? Free Press, I think she's a Free Press editorial page. Yeah, Free Press editorial page editor Nancy Caffer is quoted as saying, "I think James Crumbly will walk free because society blames mothers." Well, that kind of gives you a little insight into the way Nancy Caffer thinks. But we'll get some information coming up at the end of this little segment with Marie Osborne, our senior news analyst, with a Crumbly trial update. It's all coming to a head. What did we talk about earlier? The Grizzlies reign in the Horizon League, and we were so excited for Greg Campy. I know that you are a big fan of his as well, Mr. Rieger. There's another story out there.
Yeah, it's really good.
Well, I hear laughter about other things in the background. We have who's having a good time there? That sounds like Brian. Brian never laughs and has a good time.
No, it's not. It's Rich.
Oh, okay. One of the best athletes, if not the best, to hail from the state of Michigan will enter a National Hall of Fame for his accomplishments as a high schooler.
Who's that?
Tyrone Wheatley.
Oh, God, he was great.
Yeah. It's in somebody's column today.
I don't like
the way this stuff comes up on the phone because it doesn't always say who it is. Jared Ramsey, I guess.
Oh, he was so good.
Yeah, Tyrone was way back in high school.
Oh,
of course he was great at Michigan.
Oh, he was great.
But now he's going to enter the National Hall of Fame for his accomplishments as a high schooler, Tyrone Wheatley.
Wow.
He went to Dearborn Heights. Was it Robichaud? Dearborn Heights, Robichaud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course, a Michigan football standout. One of 11 nominees announced for the 2024 National Federation of State High School Associations National High School Hall of Fame. Tyrone just completed his first season as head football coach at Wayne State.
That's correct.
So that's all good. I mean, you love to hear about guys doing well,
men and women. Michigan has had some running backs.
Michigan's done very well.
You go through the list, that's... It's impressive.
It is indeed. I just saw that Michigan has hired a longtime Ohio State
coach. That's correct, to replace Mike Hart, who left. Yeah.
And Ohio State, before this last game, by the way, which they lost again, Ohio State had hired a former Michigan coach. So it's a tit-for-tat going back and forth here.
Yeah. Well, Ohio State fans probably think that they need to make some changes.
Please.
As you know, losing to Michigan is...
the worst thing a coach at Ohio State can do.
Not good.
No, it's the end of his career. He can win every other game, but if they keep getting beat by Michigan, it's over. It's just over. That's just, unfortunately, the way it was. Hey, this rematch now, because it's official... Well, it's as official as it can be with these two. Anything can happen between now and the election. But technically, the rematch is set between President Joe Biden, former President Donald Trump, after the two earned enough delegates yesterday to win their party's presidential nominations. Neither will officially become the nominee until the national convention's vote this summer, but a Trump-Biden face-off is almost certain. They got that magic number of delegates and remain without any major challenges. So this is a pretty amazing thing because this is a rematch between two, well, as this story from Steve Peoples in the Associated Press words it, a rematch between two flawed and unpopular presidents. Now, the people who really like Biden don't think of him as unpopular, nor do the people who really love former President Donald Trump. But be that as it may, this guy wrote it this way. And that rematch is the first featuring two U.S. presidents since 1912, which, according to Steve Peoples, the Associated Press, will almost certainly deepen the nation's searing political and cultural divides over this eight-month grind that lies ahead. You know, that is just so unfortunate. That's like the last thing we need. There is no road to healing set out there. It could have been the State of the Union address, which has been used for that in the past. But because they're so scared for Biden's sake and that he had to, quote unquote, prove that he's not too old, they had him all wound up and all fired up and gave the most partisan State of the Union address I've ever seen. And he did not try for a moment to reach out to America and all Americans and act as if he was there for them. That wasn't a part of his deal. And the other thing that they didn't count on when they said, oh, this was great, look at how much life he had, it just underscored how little life he had leading up to the speech and, frankly, immediately following the speech. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't seen the State of the Union, Joe Biden, ever since that night. I have seen the tired, confused President Biden since then, and it only stands out more after comparing it with how he was juiced up for the State of the Union address. All right, enough of that. Yesterday was equal pay day in the U.S., but things still are not balanced. I thought there were laws to prevent this, but according to the latest research from the Census Bureau, women working full-time, year-round, earn 84 cents for every dollar a man earns. Marie Osborne, that's got to really anger you.
Yes, it does.
Okay. See, it's sometimes hard to get a, you know, she doesn't like to commit because she's wearing her newsperson hat, but I sometimes make her take the hat off and respond.
Well, any thinking person would obviously be disturbed by that information.
Absolutely correct. And I therefore am also a thinking person, so don't blame me. But I can't believe, I thought there were laws to prevent this kind of pay wrongdoing.
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you talk to people who are younger, a younger generation, I think it is younger.
I don't know.
They'll say that one of the things that prevents equal pay opportunities for women is the secrecy that surrounds talking about what you make for a living and how much you get paid. And that really prevents people from knowing, well, gee, you know, I've got a counterpart here that does my same job and they're getting paid X amount of dollars. And so I should be paid that. So you'll find a lot of younger people are way more open about talking about things like that.
Well, and they're going to learn then when there's a discrepancy.
Yes.
Meanwhile, I'm calling upon you to give us an update on the Crumbly trial.
Well, closing arguments are now underway, and Karen McDonald, the Oakland County prosecutor, is talking with the jury right now. Of course, reiterating the big highlights in the case that the prosecution laid out. They called 15 witnesses during this trial. She's reiterating the fact that, you know, it was James Crumley who bought this gun for his son. It was James Crumley who could have taken his son home on that day that he was called to the school for concerning doodling, if you will, on the shooter's homework. So she's laying this back out for the jury. Now, earlier, and we'll hear from the defense coming up shortly. Earlier, the defense rested its case. The jury left the courtroom. But before that happened, Crumley took an oath before the judge, acknowledging that he understood the risks and potential benefits of testifying his case, mm-hmm. and that he discussed it with his attorney. And this is what he said.
Is it your decision to testify, or is your decision to remain silent?
It is my decision to remain silent.
And so that's the first and last that we heard from the defendant, James Crumley, in this case. Again, 15 witnesses for the prosecution. The lone one for the defense was James Crumley's sister, Karen, who talked about how she had visited twice with Crumley and his son in the year, 6 months before the shooting, and that she did not notice anything amiss with them.
Well, this comes on the heels of his, I believe, because I try not to follow these things because you do such a good job, but I believe the wife testified on her behalf, and, yes. and there was a lot of criticism with that.
Yes, there was a lot of criticism. In particular, when she was asked, would you have done anything different? And she said, no.
Eesh.
And so, well, you know, but on her, you know, on the other side of that is, would she have said yes? And then the jury said, aha, there you go. You're
yep,
guilty.
You're right. So there's no good answer.
I don't know that there was a good answer there. But again, you know, her attorney put her there. So yeah. she that was a fair question to ask.
Yep. All right, Marie, thanks. Keep us on top of this as you do so well.
Do.
We appreciate it. Marie Osborne, senior news analyst here on WJR. You know, a day like today, well, I should check to see. I said 60. That's what it was when we started. Let's see what it is now. 65. Yeah, good, good. We're heading toward that high of 69 now, they're guessing. It was a low of 49, but sunny and a high of 69. And at 121, we have 65 sunny degrees. Now they said sunny at noon, but now they say partly cloudy conditions expected around 7 p.m. Oh, I see what they're saying. So it's going to be sunny right until 7 p.m. Okay, good. It is a sunny, beautiful Wednesday. There's no question about that. Anyway, when the weather's like this, much to the chagrin of people who feel they missed a winter, didn't get to do the winter sports that they wanted to, although up north they make snow and they make good snow, but I know it's not the same. But for a lot of us, we look and we go, wow, it looks very springish out there. It looks very nice. And of course, following spring is summer. And for many of us, for work and play, we find ourselves going up to Mackinac Island. We'll be up there a few times this year, as we are every year. Of course, Sandy Brew Oz, Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference, will be happening, and WJR will be there in force, unlike anyone else. And we've been doing it longer than anyone else, meaning me. We've been broadcasting from that thing in the parlor, and it's been fabulous, and we hope we continue that special place. But along the way, we get there by Shepler's Ferry, the Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry. And we're waiting to hook up with Chris Shepler, the president of Shepler's Ferry, but I was told something. I just talked to Chris the other day to see how things were, and we're ready to go, and I am proudly the voice of Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry on the ferry and in their commercials and all that, and I'm proud of that. But Dave Rieger told me something I did not know anything about. And now he may not be able to talk because he's trying to find Chris Shepler, our guest, but there had been talk of implementing luggage fees for visitors. And apparently the reaction was not good. I mean, none of us react well when we find out something we've been doing for a long time a certain way changes, and with the new way, there's an extra cost. And that upset a lot of people. And, of course, they're paying attention at Shepler's and said, okay, maybe this isn't going to work out so well. There was going to be a $4 per bag cost for visitors, no charge for island residents. And there, I didn't know this until diving into the story, that there's a Mackinac Island Transportation Authority, and that people who run these ferries actually pay a fee. They actually have to pay some kind of a franchise fee, or I don't know if that's what it's called. I'll call it a franchise fee, but they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to be allowed to run the ferry. I had no idea. I'd never heard that before, didn't know a thing about it, just learned it while digging into the story here. The luggage fees were to help offset the costs of radio frequency tracking devices, known as those RFID technology we've heard about before, but it reads information contained in wireless devices without making physical contact or requiring a line of sight. And that's from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security website. They thought it was a good idea. I believe the Michigan State Police thought it was a good idea to have these tracking buttons. Now, they're not, Michigan State Police is not stepping in and backing any kind of a fee increase or anything else. They just thought it was a good idea to have the tracking system after talking with Shepler. Shepler's already spent a lot of money to put in this equipment, but they're not going to charge you money now this year for your bags. And we have to track down my friend Chris Shepler, the president of Shepler's Ferry. And I've already told him, Chris, that you have decided to postpone any plans to add a fee for the RFID luggage tracking. Good afternoon. Nice to catch up with you.
Yeah, well, thank you, Paul W., and it's always a pleasure to speak with you on your show. And, yes, yeah, so I am kind of getting in here at the last part of it. But, yes, we have postponed any luggage fee. We postponed the use of the RFID tracking system, we're going to postpone that so that we can ensure that we continue to work closely with the island officials, the Homeland Security, U.S. Coast Guard, all of those different entities, and make sure when we do introduce this into the experience that it is the proper one.
I didn't know until reading up on this story, because you and I have never talked about it. I didn't know that ferry boats like yours have to pay a franchise fee. And I also didn't know how much time you spend on each ferry on luggage that gets wayward luggage. Not that you lose. Obviously, you can't lose it. You put it on the boat, you take off, and you get to the island, and you take it off the boat. But the luggage goes so many different places that oftentimes it goes to the wrong places, and that's not Shepler Ferry's problem. But Shepler's Ferry has always helped out trying to find people's luggage. And I had no idea how many phone calls and how much you have to do every trip to find people's luggage.
Yeah, that is true. It's kind of a hidden little deal because we don't bring it up with hotels. We don't bring it up. We just do what we got to do. When that guest comes to the dock and the luggage is not there, and it may be, 50% of the time the luggage is on the next boat that's leaving Mackinac Island, or it's just left the hotel, or they just missed the boat, or whatever. I don't want to put a percentage on that, but that's kind of what happens. And very rarely is a bag lost. It's just misplaced for however long. So this system would allow us to know immediately if that luggage has arrived our dock yet. That would be one of the big questions. Then once we knew that, we could focus in on possibly the hotel and or Starline if they have it, instead of making all these other phone calls that we have to make to narrow down that search. So it would eliminate the, you know, this angst that, that someone has. I know I would have an angst if I got off the boat, my luggage's not there, and I got to catch a flight to Detroit, and it leaves in an hour and a half, and my bag's not here. Mm. Or I got to get, I have a meeting, or I have kids at home, or whatever that case might be. This would allow the guest to know, you know, whether or not that luggage even got to Shuffler's Mackinac Island Ferry Service.
Yeah.
So yes to that, or I hope I answered that correctly. And then, yes, we do pay a $300,000 fee to Mackinac Island.
$300,000 each year is your franchise fee?
Every year to Mackinac Island, to and that allows us to take passengers to Mackinac Island.
Wow. Well, this is all news to me, and I'm part of the family there. I am shocked to see that in the story it says, well, you're quoted as saying, we spend 40 to 50 hours a week looking for misplaced bags, maybe 30 phone calls per trip. Wow.
That is correct.
That is mind-blowing. All right. Well, but
now that's not, let me real quick, that's not every trip. Those are the Sunday mornings. Those are the when a big convention such as the Detroit Regional Chamber checks out.
Okay.
So, you know, that's not every day, but I believe if you average that out, we're spending 50 hours a week looking for misplaced bags.
Gotcha. And now we're looking at a $4 fee that was announced, then now you're rescinding it for this year till you get all this stuff explained and the RFID luggage tracking and how better that'll be for everybody. I wish you well. I hope to continue to be the voice of the Shepler Mackinac Island Ferry. So if you need me to record anything new for the ferries this year, let me know.
I will, Paul W., and you are the official voice of Shepler's Mackinac Island Ferry.
All right, Chris, say hello to your lovely wife, Mikey, and I look forward to seeing you guys soon.
Will do, Paul W. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We continue. That's Chris Shepler, President Shepler's Ferry, at 1:30 on WJR.
Now, Movie Show Plus presents This Weekend at the Movies with Greg Russell. Sponsored in part by Wigley's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Now, with the best viewing in the stream and on the screen, here are Paul W. Smith and Greg Russell.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, look, you did not doze off. It is still Wednesday. I know this is odd because we do this on Fridays, but this Friday is our St. Patrick's Day celebration. Well, St. Patrick's celebration because the day is a couple days later. Be that as it may, we won't be here tomorrow because Michigan State will be, I hope, beating Minnesota starting at 12 noon here on WJR. So, to be safe, we have Movie Show Plus with the one and only Greg Russell today. And the month of March is always a favorite for Sean O'Callaghan's Public House in downtown Plymouth. You get there today and try their Wigley's famous corned beef creations. Whether traditional or with a twist, you're going to love it. Get your Wigley's today at Sean O'Callaghan's Public House. And by the way, Wigley's will be serving their delicious corned beef at our Paul W. Smith St. Patrick's Day event coming up this Friday. So there you are. You have it all. I hope, Greg, even though we're not doing the movies, you'll come to the party.
Oh, I will definitely be there Friday afternoon. Wouldn't miss it. Like I said, to sit down and talk with you, say hi to everybody, and of course, yeah, get the Wigley's. I'm right on. There you go.
And that's why I'm showing up. There you go. All right, so a movie in the theater. Tell us about Arthur the King.
This is a new one from Mark Wahlberg, and as you may have noticed lately, he's really been getting into more of these family-friendly, you know, type movies. Arthur is actually the dog. Mark's character is a guy who was like a triathlon athlete who wants to go out for one more push. And so as he is out doing his thing with the rest of his teammates, they come across this dog who you can tell had definitely been down on his luck. So Mark's character basically adopts Arthur, and Arthur in turn really inspires him. So it's all about inspiration coming from, you know, places sometimes you wouldn't expect it to come from.
I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, like we said, it's almost like a Hallmark movie, you know, really for the most part, because it is the inspirational thing, and it is more so like a family film. So, you know, there's no action. Mark's not beating anybody up. And, the dog is, like I said, just there to inspire people, basically letting them know, see what I went through? You can get through it, too. Yeah.
Now, interesting. Going back to, well, a long time ago, when we had that big, what did they call that, the studio? Was it just called the Michigan Studios? Raleigh, Michigan Studios that Lyndon Nelson had.
Right. Wow.
And then and his son, Sanford. Sanford now is a big deal at Eastern Market, along with Lyndon Nelson. As far as I know, I haven't talked to them in a very long time. But I remember Lyndon taking us around the studios. And for, I'm almost positive that Mark Wahlberg was there doing a movie at that studio. And he had, and I'm told he does this everywhere he goes, he had an entire workout room set up with weights and equipment that follows him around wherever he goes. Am I thinking of the right guys? Mark Wahlberg's in great shape, right?
Oh, he is. I mean, as they say, he is cut. He is ripped. Yes.
So that's, I mean, that's how you get that way. This guy takes equipment around with him everywhere he goes. And I remember that from back with Lyndon Nelson in that studio, the Michigan studio. I wish we were still doing movies. You and I talked about that last time. All right, next on Netflix, you don't even have to leave home. Is it worth watching Irish Wish? Let's listen. Well, there again, I don't quite understand. I mean, I don't know how I can make a decision. I can make a decision based on your decision because you're the one who sees it.
Right. This is another Lindsay Lohan comeback picture. Like you said, it's on Netflix. And again, it's almost a Hallmark movie. Her ex-boyfriend is now engaged to her best friend. They're getting married in Ireland. And as you even heard at the beginning, you know, she just put out a wish of, I wish I could meet my true soulmate or something like that. Boom, next thing you know, she wakes up. Now she's engaged to her old boyfriend, only to realize down the line that he's not what she was really looking for anyway. Okay. So you've seen this one before. In fact, it's probably coming on at the top of the hour on either that or Lifetime. Easy little movie, you know, like if you do want to just kick back and watch something like that. But, yeah, I mean, it's predictable. You know what's going on. You already know what's going to happen.
Do we honor it with the corned beef sandwich?
Well, only because it has the in its title, Irish Wish.
I'll accept that.
We can give it, you know, a nice 1.5 sandwiches and a nice green piece of pickle. There you go.
Green pickle. Perfect. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person on Friday and, in fact, enjoying a fabulous Wiggly's corned beef sandwich. It'll be a great celebration. We wish Michigan State luck tomorrow. They'll take our time tomorrow starting at noon as they take on Minnesota. And if they win tomorrow at noon, then we're going to dance around with our party. The party will still be noon to 3 no matter what on Friday. But there you are. Thank you, as always, Greg. See you in a day or two.
You got it, Paul W. Take care. Thanks, everybody.
Greg Russell, Movie Show Plus on WJR. All right, sunny, beautiful, 65 degrees on our way to 68, 69, maybe 70, breaking records. I don't know. I always like our little conversation here with Chris Renwick, the host of JR Afternoon. Sunny, beautiful day. Chris, it makes everything better, doesn't it?
Oh, God, it makes a world of a difference. It
makes a world
little
of
vitamin
a difference.
Little vitamin C, little warmth. It's great.
Yeah, yeah. Can you imagine RFK Jr. saying he'd like to have Aaron Rodgers or Jesse Ventura as his vice presidential running mate? Come on!
How wild is that?
I don't know. It's pretty wild.
I was listening to, he was on with Joe Rogan not long ago on Rogan's podcast, which I like. I listen to from time to time. And he's a big RFK guy. He is not a Biden guy. My based on the way he speaks and kind of his viewpoints on things, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I would tend to think that he would sooner vote for Donald Trump than he would for Joe Biden. But he speaks very glowingly of RFK, and you know, RFK was on our station not long ago with All Talk and said that he's doing well with younger voters, so he feels like he's got a shot here. I don't think he's got any shot, but But yeah, Aaron Rodgers in the Eisenhower building would be something special.
Yeah, you pause to think about it, but then you move on or you lose your sanity. Meanwhile, wasn't too long ago we were told by the President of the United States that there was no money left. They were out of money. We need money for Ukraine. How and where did they come up with a new weapons package worth up to $300 million for Ukraine? Any idea?
Yeah, and that's executive action taken by the president. So just going right around Congress for that.
You mean the same executive action he says he doesn't have to clean up the borders?
That's right. That's right. That same very sweeping pen motion.
Interesting.
You just can't find that for the border.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Meanwhile, this is bizarre, and I wanted to share this with you. I didn't even get a chance to talk to my listeners. Sometimes you know what it's like. You run out of time, all the things you want to talk about.
So true.
This story? The Alaska Airlines flight, 1282. Remember the door plug blew off the side of the plane? Shortly after takeoff. Yep. That was in January. Do you know, this is scary, it was scheduled to be taken out of service that night already.
No.
Yes.
Why?
It was scheduled to be taken out of service the night of the incident to investigate two separate warning lights that alerted the crew to a potential pressurization problem.
God.
And of course, if that door was not bolted correctly, there would be a pressurization problem.
Oh, my God. That's like me with a check engine light in my car. I just go, hopefully it turns off.
Yeah, boy, I don't know what that's for, but I'm driving.
Next thing I know, a cut scene, the chassis falls out from under me, and I'm sitting on Telegraph.
Or God forbid, the brake light lights up, and you go,
right.
That can't be good.
Hopefully well, there's anyway. A really soft, lush place for me to drive into here soon. Yeah, no.
Did you happen to see on, I don't know where it was, I don't look at TikTok. I did a long time ago. Then I got rid of TikTok. Then I started getting messages from people on TikTok, so I had to sign back up for it, but I don't go to it. And now I won't have to worry about it because they're going to make it illegal.
Right.
But anyway, on must have been on Instagram. I see a kid skiing. Looks like he's doing a pretty good job. He does kind of he hits a hill and he kind of goes upside down, or goes in the air like he's going to spin around. And he crashed into the moving seat of a chairlift.
Oh, God.
Did you see that?
No.
Well, you reacted exactly the way I reacted when I saw it. I saw it, and I go, oh, it's a pretty good skier. And then he hits the chairlift, and I go, oh, God. So I had no idea. I don't have the resources CNN has, but CNN found the 17-year-old skier who told CNN he feels beat up after crashing into the moving seat of a chairlift. But at least he has been able to talk. So, you know, we didn't know if the
guy
was
probably fortunate to feel beat up.
Oh, I think he absolutely.
Can I tell you a skiing story real quick?
Yeah.
All right. So I was out when I was younger. This would have been in like middle school. I was just starting to ski, probably been out a handful of times. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was with some of my idiot buddies and I call them idiots because I said
they always speak highly of you.
Yeah. Like a real smart guy. I said, hey, you know, I've been skiing for a while now. Should I try the moguls?
Oh, boy.
And my idiot buddies say, yeah, Chris, you should definitely try the moguls. And so I go, you guys are right. I definitely should try the moguls.
Oh, boy.
So I got to the top, and they stayed down there for some reason, probably because they had a better vantage point. And also because inevitably they knew what was going to happen. So I approached the moguls, and I hit the first mogul. And it was the first time that I was able to kiss the ground standing up because my knees went so far above my head.
Oh,
my
boy.
Head hit the mogul, and I proceeded to hit every mogul, not on my skis, mind you, hit every mogul on the way down the hill.
I'm glad you didn't knee yourself in the mouth, you know?
Right.
Knock your teeth out.
Very fortunate. But
yeah man, well, you got to thank those friends again. No wonder you say that. But anyway. Yeah, I was never a great skier. I just wasn't, I guess.
We had a great state for it, too, unfortunately.
Yeah, some great skiing up north, all the different places we were able to go growing up. That was fun. Hey, a couple of quick things. You see somebody and you go, that's just not right. And that's true with this Brooklyn pastor, that they have called him the Bling Bishop or Bishop Bling, something like that.
Okay.
He always was wearing flashy jewelry. He's now been found guilty of spending $90,000 of his parishioners' savings on luxury goods. I mean, how does this not? This should not surprise you. My goodness, Pastor Bling. I mean, Bishop Bling. Of course, he's spending money to get all that blingy jewelry, and it turns out to be everybody else's money. All right. Yeah. One other thing that I'm hoping we can get into maybe tomorrow, and this is bizarre, but I'm not going to lie that AI is confusing to me, and it's being pushed as the next great investment. Don't miss it. If you missed Bitcoin, don't miss AI, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's right or wrong, but here's this. From the State Department, rapidly evolving artificial intelligence could pose an extinction-level threat to humans, and the U.S. must intervene. This is a report commissioned by the State Department, not by
yeah, some guy in a
social media guy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, extinction-level threat to humans?
Wow.
Look,
I've got a lot of concerns about AI. It's a topic for another day, but...
It is indeed. Yeah. And we're going to be listening to all the topics you have today on JR Afternoon. Thank you, Chris Renwick.
Thanks, Paulie.
Hey, come to the party if you can, if you have time.
Sold.
Before your show.
Sold.
And I'm hoping all the rest of the team, Tom and Kevin and Guy and Lloyd and everybody from the station, I hope they'll come. Make each and every day count. Each day is a gift. MSU Minnesota, noon tomorrow. Regards, Paul W. Smith.